Well, good morning. Good to see you guys this morning. Is it officially, is it okay to say happy Super Bowl Sunday? Yeah. Happy Super Bowl Sunday. Woo-hoo. Got a question for you this morning. I don't want to show of hands. I don't want any commentary, okay? Just it's an easy question. Do you ever wake up, particularly on a Monday morning, and you think to yourself something like this? God help the first person I see this morning. Okay, well, that's an admission of guilt. Okay. I don't have that. I'm just curious if you guys have that. I wonder, how much of Sunday do you spend dreading Monday? I wonder how much of Monday you pray Friday will come quickly. I wonder how much of life you spend thinking, if I could just get to the next moment. Well, this morning we're going to look at a very simple, straightforward passage. You know we're going through the book of Acts. And we're going to look at a passage that is very common. All of you by this time in your life, even the young ones, have heard this passage probably preached on many, many times. But no more than the days that we live in right now, I believe it is appropriate. Because as a church of the one true living God on this earth, called by and ordained for to have a powerful impact, the importance of one another. So today's title of the message is Fellowship of the Believers. And it's based out of Acts 2, 42 through 47. Don't know if everyone was able to get it, but we're using the fill-in-the-blank system now. Okay? So we'll be walking through that together. Now look, some of you that already have it, quit guessing. All right, quit guessing what the blanks are. Just wait till I get there, okay? Because I'm going to enlist some help, all right? My young cohorts over there, they enjoy guessing what the blanks are going to be, so I'm going to allow them to get a shot at it this morning, okay? So let's pray, and I'm going to read the scripture to us. Father God, we thank you for the blessings of the day. May we enjoy this time together. Thank you for the beautiful weather, or just another tough day in the South during the wintertime. Praise be to God for a little cool weather. We ask this time would honor you and glorify you. May you be praised in all that we say and do today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That passage is all about the early church coming to develop itself, coming together and understanding what it meant to live a Christ-like life in those times and in those places. And this morning, my prayer for us, for you, for me, is this, that God could freshen that up a little bit. That's one of the reasons why I ask you that question. How much of today are you spending dreading tomorrow? And then how much of tomorrow do you spend looking forward to Friday, thinking if I can just get through one more week, maybe I'll be okay. Maybe something will change. Something will be different. Do you ever, is it just me or does it seem like time is going by really fast? I mean, we're already well into February. And it will be all, you know what? You and I will be talking about Christmas before we know it. You agree with that? I believe that. I believe that wholeheartedly. And this morning, I'm asking you to engage in the divine appointment that God has placed upon your life in this moment. Because if you don't know how to engage in the divine moment that God has given you this morning, then will you miss it this afternoon? Will you miss it tomorrow? Will you miss it sometime in this coming week? Will you miss the divine appointments that God has for your life? And by the way, when I tell you the divine appointments, I don't mean just the appointments that you like to have happen. I'm talking about the ones that you don't want to have happen. I'm asking you to learn to engage, embrace what God is doing. That is a growth step for most Christians. Did you know that? Most Christians, most of the time spending telling God what they want instead of allowing Him to provide what they need. And so we miss those divine appointments. So as we begin our time together, that's the basis of our scripture. John, point number one. Devotion to God and His ways causes us, Josh, to His commands. Luke. But John, live out His commands. Not bad, not bad. I'm going to give you some good. Those were good guesses. Good guesses. Don't worry. Hey, I might call some over here. Stay alert, people. All right? Look, let's don't complicate what God made simple. You need to remember something, that for these early believers, they came together to look at what had happened in the life of Jesus and what the apostles had been teaching the people who were following Jesus. This was such a new concept. Many of these would have been Jewish believers. And they were coming together to understand this new thing that they were following. They were not yet called Christians at this point, so they wouldn't have said, how do I be a Christian? They would have said something like, I want to know what the essence of being a disciple of Christ is really like. What does that look like? I know what I've been taught by the rabbis, and I've seen these other cults that have been around trying to get us to follow other false prophets. But what's it really like to follow the teachings of the apostles? And what is it really like to engage as being a follower of Christ? And so the disciples would have shared and showed them things about Jesus' life that they may have seen or may have not seen. They would have talked about that it's a lifestyle, not a rules and regulations, but a lifestyle to live out. And they would have seen in the life of the apostles people that had a life change. Think about something for just a second. Probably some of these early believers had seen these apostles over the course of their life, potentially. And now they were meeting with these men that had a radical change, that there was a difference in their life. And so devotion to God and His ways causes us to live out His commands, not memorize a bunch of regulations or rules or do's or don'ts, but to embrace that which is truth, to see life change. Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They understood that community was essential, that it had become a non-negotiable item in their life, that the need for one another only escalated. It didn't diminish, it actually escalated. That when you're devoting yourself to the ways of God, the ways of God are community-based. The one another's had to begin to be lived out within their community, the fellowship of the believers. That it wasn't just something that they would talk about. That it was something they had to practice. Their lives were not perfect. I promise you, I guarantee you, that they came together at times and somebody looked at somebody and said, if you don't pray for me today, honest to goodness, I'm going to kill that son of mine. Honest to goodness, if you don't pray for me this week, that boss and I are going to have it out. Honest to goodness, sometimes in marriage it just isn't easy because somebody helped me. What would Jesus have said to live out those commands? They would have been talking about those things. How did Jesus' way become practical in my life, guys? And they would have talked about those things. They would have said, well, Jesus taught us to forgive. Jesus taught us to love one another. Jesus taught us that it wasn't on the outside that mattered, it was on the inside that really counted. Jesus talked about a kingdom that lived on the inside. And I know that we're not understanding everything, guys, but we're in this together. We're going to figure it out. We're going to live it out. We're going to see what happens. Because my life is different now that I follow Jesus, and I want your life to be different. You see, it was iron sharpening iron. It wasn't complicated. It was iron sharpening iron. So it caused them. An impact was to live out the commands. Are you living those out? Forgiving? Being obedient? Doing the things that God has spoken to you over the course of your life? Let me ask you a question. Again, I'm not asking for confession. I'm just asking, how many times, probably just since the beginning of this year, you thought to yourself something like this to yourself, I'm going to be closer, I want to be closer to God this year. I'm going to get up, I'm going to spend some more time reading the Bible, I'm going to spend some more time praying, I'm going to check out a life group for the first time. I'm going to be there as much as possible on Sunday. I don't care what happens, I'm going to fight through it. But then, the pillow calls. The warm blanket calls. The coffee, another cup of coffee calls. The comfort, the convenience, the routine of not doing it calls. You know, one of the biggest reasons why New Year's resolutions fail is because people are too nebulous in their resolutions and they have no one to hold them accountable. I want to get in shape. Great. What does that mean? You want to climb Everest without assisted oxygen? Or you just want to be able to walk to the end of the driveway without huffing and puffing? What does that mean? Your devotion to God needs to be explicit, practical, doable, and life-changing. But if you're devoted to anything else, then that which you're devoted to, that's what you'll become like. Number two, John. Devotion to God and His ways impacts... All right, Ryan, give it a shot. I'm just asking you to guess. Without cheating, John. All right, John, give it a shot. John, what is it? All right, John. That's good, John. That's good. That's good. Devotion to God and His ways impacts others greatly. This isn't an elbow rubbing event. This is a massive car collision pileup. This is a great impact on somebody else's life. But a devotion to God, the greatest way to have an impact on somebody else is who gets to set your agenda. This coming week, you will have divine appointments. You will have divine moments. But God is already preparing you for those times if He's impacting your life now. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Like, holy moly, somebody got healed. You know why somebody got healed? Because somebody prayed for them. And somebody had the faith to pray for them. And you know something? It probably wasn't just always the first time they prayed for them. It wasn't just the first time that they said, we need to pray about that. I'm telling you, one thing that those guys had, I guarantee you, is this. They had perseverance. Are you willing to persevere to see the people in your life have an impact or be impacted? And all the believers were together and had everything in common. I told you this already in point one. Check your devotion level. What are you really devoted to? I'm serious. What would you sell everything, give up everything, jump out of bed and run to as quick as you possibly could, that if everything else was gone, that's the one thing you want to know is still there? Probably most of you say family. Okay? God wants you to be in love with Him just that same amount too. And He also wants you to be in love with His body just that amount too. And His Word just that same amount too. Devotion, a totally giving over to something. Are you totally giving yourself over to God the Father, the relationship that you say you have with Him? Because devotion to God and His ways impacts others greatly. Greatly. I challenge you something this week. Ask God to give you divine appointments, divine conversations, and see what really happens. They may come in the most arbitrary ways possible, but God is faithful. John number three. Hold on a second. Bailey, get ready. Devotion to God and His ways blank us before it changes blank. Josh, don't help him. Changes His ways blank us before it changes. Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Okay, okay. All right. All right. All right, John. Hey, hold on a second. When you were at my house last night, did you look at this outline? I agree with that, Daniel. Devotion to God and His ways changes us before it changes others. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says it very well. Therefore, those who are in Christ are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Did you know that means you and me? When you read that scripture, it wasn't talking about the Corinthian church only, exclusively. It was talking about a we. Devotion to God and His ways changes us before it changes others. Look at verse 44. We'll go 44 down. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread together in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Listen to this very carefully. I believe this in my heart. It's easy to say on Sunday morning, but it ain't so easy to execute on Monday morning is this. They put people over possessions. They put relationships over the stuff. I'm sure they were tired. I'm sure they were weary. I'm sure they were anxious at times. I'm sure they were nervous. Let me tell you something. Living in Jerusalem in those days, living in the Promised Land in those days, surrounded by Romans that wanted to, that didn't like you, and that any moment unsettled times could cause unsettled moments, which cause a great amount of uncertainty. I know we live in uncertain times. I know that. But you know something? We still live in the greatest country in the world, right? Okay? They lived in the Promised Land, but every single day they woke up to a group of people that considered them about as useless as dogs. So when they gathered together, every single day, it wasn't figuratively speaking life or death. It literally was life or death. Every single day. The Romans did not have to ask permission to take them out. They could take them out. So it had to change on the inside. Fear really did have to become faith. Faith in what? Faith that no matter what happened, that they were so devoted to God that they were willing to pay the price regardless of what happened. That they were so devoted to God that they were willing to put relationships over their own convenience. So devoted to God that at times when they were worried about the future, they said, well, I'm not going to worry about it today. I see the people in front of me and that's who I'm going to have an impact on. There was such a devotion to God and His ways that it changed them so much. Listen to this very carefully. Okay. What's not in that passage? I'll give you a hint. There are no names in that passage. They were so devoted to one another that they put others to the point that they couldn't list all the names that got impacted. Think about that for a second. So often in the Bible, we list this name and that name and this name. There were so many people being impacted by this way of life. Did you hear what I just told you? A way of life. This became something that was not optional. These opportunities were a blessing. They were not inconveniences. Our devotion to God has, we have to have a different mindset. We have to have a different heart. We have to realize that life isn't smooth and it's not always going to work out like it's planned in the playbook, but we're willing to trust God and we're willing to realize that my devotion to Him is steady no matter what. Because one of the things I love in a different version is it uses the word frequently of steadfastly. You know what that tells me? Regardless of circumstances, my feet are on firm ground and I will not be shaken. That I know the one who's over the storm, and I might be in the storm, but He's still going to come and He's going to take over. Because He's going to take over my life first. So devotion to God and His ways changes us before it changes others. I got a serious thought for you. Think about it a second. I've already talked to you about what you're devoted to. But let me throw this out for you too. If someone were to follow you around for a week, or two, or three, or four, without them, you seeing them with you, and they saw the way you spent your time, and the way you used your resources, and the way you used your spiritual gifts, and your time, and your talent, and so on, okay? Would people come to the conclusion that you're part of the fellowship of believers? Has your life changed to the point where you're impacting others, that you're living out His commands, and that you're not going to be down to the lowest common denominator of circumstances? Devotion to God and His ways changes us before it'll ever change anybody else. When you have the opportunity to speak to someone in your life about anything of God, forgiving others, loving others, how do you deal with pressure? How do you deal with worry? How do you deal with the way the country is right now? I tell you, the first thing you need to do is simply say this. I am devoted to God the Father no matter what. I haven't told you all this before. As soon as the election was over with, Kathy and I actually rehearsed our answer. Okay? Like, as soon as the election over with in November, okay, I knew the question was going to be coming. And let me tell you something, God's got a great sense of humor, and here's why. Election was over with. The very next morning, I'm decided I'm going to go to the Y. Going to work out a little bit. I know y'all can tell I work out a lot. No comments from over there, okay? All right. I work out a lot, of course. I sat down, and honest to goodness, a guy, which isn't unusual, someone would come sit next to me, things are lined up. All right. First question out of the mouth was this. Never met the guy before in my life. What do you think about the election last night? Inside, this was my reaction. Oh, God, why did you have to ask me that question? But I remembered something. God had prepared me for the moment because I knew the moment was coming. So here was my answer. No matter who is there, it doesn't change me from having an impact on this country for the good. You know what? God's got such a sense of humor. He was a believer, and we talked about being a Christian in this culture and everything. I was like, oh, God. Oh, Lord, why? And then it's like, okay, God, I'm imaginary high-fiving God. I'm like, thank you for this divine point. Because you know what? At the end of it, a couple things. One, it was the fellowship of believers right there together in that moment. That was one thing. And second of all is that why worry about something that God's already prepared me for? Because you know one of the things about all three of those and the rest of that passage is this. Not one time did Jesus ever tell anybody in Scripture, if we could just get Caesar to be a Christian, everything will be awesome. If we could just get the king to be a Christ follower, your life will be so much better. He said in that passage, they said in this passage, is that you're going to be so awesome that people are going to come check you out. You're going to be so awesome. Number four, John. God never intended for us to change the world on blank, but He did intend for us to change the world. All right, let's see here. Ryan, do you want a redemption? Yeah. Hey, you want me to go with the smart people? Ivy, Jaden. They knew it was coming, though. I already told them. All right, Luke, give it a shot. God never intended for us to change the world on faith, but He did intend for us to change the world. Hey, for those sitting this far, you can't see their discussion. That's what I'm laughing at. All right, John, please go. All right, God never intended for us to change the world on our own, but He did intend for us to change the world. Amen? Are we the salt and light? Yes, we are. Amen. All that good stuff. You know something, guys? Let me let you on a little Christian secret. Okay? In the Christian world, and I even have it printed on one of the 18 desks that I go to during the week, Jeremiah 29:11. For the plans I know, the plans to prosper you and to give you a future and a hope. And on and on and on. Man, that sounds awesome. That sounds awesome. I love that. Great verse. So, let me ask you this question. Did God say anywhere in there that if you're confused, if your world's chaotic, if you think you're too busy, that you don't have time to, you don't have the energy to, you don't have the something to that's of God? Where was that in that scripture I just quoted? For I know the plans I have for you, to be confused, to be weary, to be tired, to stay up late and binge watch the Netflix show, to learn everything about social media, to read every news outlet, every story that gets you fired up so you can go ahead and tell others all your great knowledge about the political situation. No. But He did intend the plans I have for you to prosper you and give you a future and a hope. You know, in the context of that scripture that we all quote so much, it was for the nation of Israel. It was for a group of people. So if you're really going to engage in the fellowship of believers and understand what God has for your life, you're not going to do it on your own. You'll never be all God intended for you to be all by yourself. And one of the greatest lies that even us Christians struggle with is, if I. God never intended for us to change the world on our own, but He did intend for us to change the world. Put it in the not optional category. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad, sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I'm sure there were some people that said, that group of people, they're weird. But there was probably some others that said, you know, they may act a little weird. They may even say some words I really don't even know. But I do know that so-and-so was having some problems, and so-and-so got some people to pray for them, and things changed. I do know that they love being together, even though they're not perfect. I do know that they talk about how different their lives are about some guy that rose from the dead. I do know that there's something about them that I just want to be attracted to, that I just need to be around. I just know that when I'm around them, I feel better about myself. You should want that. Not feeling better about yourself, you should want people to be around you. Who seeks you out? Not because they want something, but because they just want to be around you. Who seeks you out because they see something in your life that they don't understand, but they just want to be around you? Maybe they'll just get it by standing in your shadow. Maybe they'll just get it somehow. God did intend for us to change the world. You know, when our country was first settled and the government allowed a lot of people from Europe to come over and they were just giving them all those big parcels of land that you remember about in history going out towards the West, you know, one of the things that most of those people did, now these were from Europe, they came from some of the crowded cities where they lived in Europe. One of the first things they did is they got these parcels of land. You know where they built their houses on their own parcels of land? Right in the middle. You know why? They wanted to get as far away from people as they possibly could. But guess what happened? Literally, people started to kind of go crazy. Literally. Because they lived such isolated lives that they couldn't do everything, and they started to realize they needed other people. Even though they had families, but they still needed other people. So guess what started to happen after that? They started to move their homes to the corners of the land so they could be close to one another. Because they realized that they needed help to develop the land around them. Are you still in development mode? I am. I'm still in development mode. Are you still in development mode? I know one thing. I need a lot of people in my life, because if it takes a village to raise an idiot, then it's taking a village to raise me. Okay? Thank you, Jason. Appreciate that. Appreciate that, Jason. At least I know we're rooting for the same team today, Jason. I just don't think Jesus is a Patriots fan. I can't get it. Anyway. You okay, Josh? You okay? Oh. And the last point, John. All right, which one of you want to take a shot at? Maybe Christian, you have no shot at this, but I'll give you. Maybe Christian should be a blank instead of a blank. John, give it a shot. All right, hurry up. Come on. That's it. That is it. All right, hit it, John. Maybe Christian should be a verb instead of a noun. Ponder it for just a moment. Ponder it for just a moment. You live a life of action. Is your action an indication of your devotion to God and His ways? You see, you're going to act like something today. Thank you, Teresa. Teresa's laughing. Maybe I should ask you, what are you going to act like tomorrow at work? Not me, Daniel. He said, goof off. What I'm challenging you to do is this. That passage, there's nothing about it that's stagnant. It's dynamic. It's imperfect. It's evolving. It's life-giving and it's life-challenging. There was nothing necessarily about that passage that fell into some neat compartments. These people were not checking off boxes. These people were in the middle of it, no matter what the middle of it was. Do you understand what I'm telling you? That relationships will always be messy. That following Christ will always require sacrifice. And that very rarely will it be so organized that it's like, oh, now I understand everything. We will not arrive until we arrive in glory. That's it. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. My thought for you is this. Your vertical relationship always impacts your horizontal relationships. Always. It's not possible to live it differently. Although we may try. So, the bottom of that paper, if some of you got it, It asks you, I think, something like, now what, or something like that. Now what? Ask yourself, to whom am I devoted? To whom does my life reflect that I'm devoted to? Is Christian an action, or is it a sedentary word to me? Is my life being impacted to the point where I want to impact others? Maybe that's where some of you need to start today. Praying a dangerous prayer, but a prayer that says, God, I want to impact others for the kingdom of God. That I believe that, God, I can impact so greatly those around me that, God, go ahead. Put me in the difficult situations. Put me in the difficult relationships. I'm going to stay steadfast to you. And one of the ways I'm going to do that is I'm going to surround myself that'll pick me up, gird me up, lift me up. Iron sharpening iron. So look at those points for just a moment. In just a moment, we'll open the altar, and it'll be open for you to come pray by yourself with somebody else or with Dusty or I this morning, Rick. If God is stirring your heart for something this morning, what is it He's stirring? How is He growing you through it? How does He want to use it? How does He desire this morning to impact your life? And one of the things is, I can't remember if Ricky mentioned this or not, we got those prayer cards. If you don't want to come pray with anybody this morning, we'll pray with you this week. The pastors will. You can fill those out and we will gather those at the end. But to say God's not stirring anything, just not God-like. Because in the middle of life, all that right there, God was stirring it up. God was stirring it up. Because I promise you today, I guarantee you something. There was some meeting that was happening in that scripture, house to house or a temple court, and a conversation went something like this. Okay? I sure am glad we got together today. I love when we get together. I hope that Jason Rockwell doesn't come today. You know what I'm talking about. But the one that God may be putting in your life that seems to be the most difficult, maybe because God trusts you the most with making the greatest impact. So I'm going to pray. Gary, jog on down. Jog on down, Gary. Come on. There we go. Woo! There's a bottle of water waiting on you, Gary. So I'm going to pray for us. Rick and Dusty and I will be up here. Pray on your own. Pray at the altar. What's God stirring? Let's pray. Father, thank you today for the vertical relationship. Thank you today for the horizontal relationships. They are blessings. Blessings to honor you and to glorify you. And so, Lord, I pray today that we'll devote ourselves to seeking you. Seeking you for what you have for our lives, how we can glorify and honor you, how we can please you. We bless you and we honor you, Father, through this time. It'll be brief. So, Lord, may it honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar is open. Got a prayer request for the body to be praying about. Jerry Tobe has hurt three of his fingers this morning. He didn't lose them, but he's cut them pretty bad, and he's still at the ER right now getting that looked at and taken care of. I assume Lisa's there with him, correct? So we'll pray for Jerry and Lisa. This morning as I pray for us out. So let's pray. Join me in this prayer for Jerry especially. Your Father, it's very interesting. Just this morning, I was praying for Jerry, and I was praying for his heart to submit himself to you totally. And so, God, as I ask for your healing, your mercy and grace upon this situation, Lord, I pray where he is that person after person after person is a representative of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for just healing part of his physical nature, but I pray for the healing part of his heart too. And I pray for Lisa, I pray for your peace and calmness to come upon them right now. That Lord, no fear, no anxiety, just peace settle upon them where they are right now, Lord. Pray for the kids too. Thank you for that family very, very much. Thank you for their love for others and their generosity to others. And Lord, as we leave, as the salt and the light leave, may our impact be multiplied today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you, guys.